Miranda wants me to act like I'm about to meet my husband. She says I should walk toward him like I'm walking down the aisle. Through the dark, tinted window of the limousine, Dylan looks like the model in a Folgers commercial, so blandly hot that he could be anyone's husband, which is exactly why he was picked for the role. Miranda starts counting down for the woman across from me to exit the car first. The next time she gets to one, it will be my turn. I'll step out of the limo and make my debut on national television. The first woman seems composed as she greets him, her cornflower blue silk dress flowing over her thin frame, and her skin like the skin of a regal baby in a painting. They hug, talk back and forth a bit, laugh, and hug again. I want him to look at me the way he's looking at her already, his eyes crinkling at the edges with a smile. I can be desirable if I try hard enough. In my regular life, I do it all the time, pouting about the heat so my downstairs neighbor will install my window AC unit for me, laughing too hard at barely a joke from a man on the phone to get a discount on my renter's insurance. It's never come naturally to me, not that it needs to. I learned how the world works by being a quick study. When the tall double doors of the mansion close behind the first woman, Miranda starts counting again. On the ride over, all of us took tequila shots. I sweated through each curve of the desert road, up the scrubby hills toward my potential future husband. We bit down on pristine wedges of lime from the mini fridge, careful to not smudge our lipstick on the rinds, and then we screamed. I tried not to think about what I was getting myself into. Earlier today, when I modeled different outfits for Miranda, she said it was an asset that I never watched the show. "What's he going to be like?" I asked her for what felt like the 100th time. I was in a ribbed, butter-yellow dress, so cheaply made that it pilled beneath my armpits within 15 minutes of wear, as though it was only ever supposed to be looked at and never used. "Tall," Miranda said. I spun, and Miranda shook her head, no, vetoing the dress. "Stop overthinking. He's going to like you." "And if he doesn't?" "Then eventually you'll go home, and then 3 months from now you'll see yourself on TV and think my whole life is different now. Better. Thanks, Miranda." "Trust me," she said. "I do trust you," I said. "Good. You'll need to." When Miranda gets to one, the driver opens the door and the damp skin on my thighs, exposed through the slits of my jumpsuit, shears off from the leather seat. In my peripherals, there's an encampment of tents, travel trailers, filming equipment, and porta-potties. Two women dressed in black sit on a grassy slope behind the limousine staring at a phone. The blue light illuminates their faces. My own phone was taken away as soon as I landed at LAX, and I miss its pretty, sedative glow. I had trouble falling asleep the first few nights at the hotel away from it, my brain unable to slow down without the anonymous lull of my Instagram suggested page, filling in square after square of lithe dancing teens and reports of dogs elected as small-town mayors. Next to the women on the grass, a camera person sits behind a rig the size of a medieval catapult and turns the camera toward me. "Thank you," I say to the driver as he shuts the door behind me, a habit ironed into me by my mother. "Thank the bus driver when you leave. Thank the men who hold the doors for you at church. Thank the cashier at 7-Eleven for giving you free coffee every morning for being pretty, 16, and in a Catholic school uniform. Thank as many people as possible, and then every morning and night, thank God for all your blessings." The driver nods and backs away. When I feel brave enough to look up at Dylan, he's focused on Miranda, who has slunk out from the passenger door.
"Again," she calls out.
The catapult camera swings back toward the fountain to recapture my entrance.
"Don't thank the driver. I thought I told you that."
"Oh, sorry," I say. I apologize more loudly to Dylan, who's smiling at me across the driveway.
"Think of them as moving furniture."
He gestures to the vast number of people responsible for creating the atmosphere for us to fall in love, which seems at least a little ungrateful. Dylan tries to ask my name, but Miranda yells at him from inside the limo to cut it out.